Hi, and welcome to the Loan Officer Team Training Podcast today. I am your host, Irene Duford, and I am super excited to have with me my really good friend, hiring extraordinaire, business owner extraordinaire. Just, she's so good at so many things. Tammy Schneider, thank you for being with me today. It means—
Oh my goodness, you're making me blush. You're so kind, Irene. Thank you. So happy to be here and to be able to share the things that I've learned over the years and just to be a resource for your people and for the people who are listening to the podcast. I hope that what we chat today really helps someone be able to get unstuck and move forward.
Yes, and you're the perfect person to do that. So Tammy has been my friend. She's been my coach. She's been my trainer. She's been just so many things to me, and I'm so grateful. So I brought her on today because I would love to talk about hiring, about how to hire a great team member, not just hiring, right? Not just hiring, but hiring really good people. And you are an expert at that. And so I'm going to ask Tammy a few questions. I'm going to ask you, Tammy, to share with us all the tips and tricks that you have, that you know about over the years, that you've taught people how to do and that you've done yourself. So let's start out with, what is the best way to start hiring loan officers that need to hire someone for their team?
Okay. Well, the first place that I like to start when I'm working with anybody is to ask yourself first, what do you want? What do you want? Because sometimes we jump in and we're like, hire this person. You need this. You need that. And the person's like, I don't want that for my life. I don't want a big business. I just want to be able to do what I want to do, have maybe a little bit of help and go home to my family. Done. Other people are like, I want to grow an empire. I want to have a bigger business. I want something bigger than myself. I want to build a legacy. So I think the first place to start is, what do you want out of this? And then once you do that, and I don't care which choice, they're both good choices, because one has a lot more responsibility with it than the other, right? So there's no wrong choice here, but you've got to know what you want. After you've decided that, then the next thing is, no matter which direction you go, realizing you can't do it alone. So even if you decide, I just want to be a loan officer, I don't want this big mega business, I don't want to grow this, whatever, you're still going to need some help, because everyone needs time to recharge their batteries. Everyone needs a break now and then. And so having that person come alongside you to help is where the magic happens. So I think those two things would be homework that I would give anyone first, is first determine the path you want to go on to. And now we can move forward and say, who's next? Who do I need to hire? What do I need to do here? And I think it goes back to deciding, gosh, what do I want to do in this? So I've recognized I need help. I've recognized the path, no matter which one it is. And I've recognized I need help. The next step, I think, in that is recognizing, what do I do really well? What's my role going to be in all of that? Doesn't mean that's going to be your role tomorrow, but long term, being able to see into the future and say, if I could write on a magic board of some kind and draw out my life and spell it out, what would it look like? What would my business look like? What would my week look like? What would my day look like? What would my weekends look like? What would my night times and evenings look like? What would my vacation time look like? What does my day look like? What am I responsible for doing? So I think it's just a lot of little micro steps getting us up to where we can make wise decisions now on who is going to be able to help us achieve all of those things the best.
Yes, that is such great advice. You got to know where you want to go and what you want it to look like, and dream, right? Dream about it, because it is possible to get what you want. Not like you said, not tomorrow, not immediately, but if you map it out and you know what you're trying to accomplish, you'll get there. It's like a map, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. So I think recognizing that this is your own journey, this is nobody else's journey. I think where I see a lot of people get caught up or make mistakes is they see what this person over here is doing. Maybe they're in a group together or a membership together, or they're doing something and they see what other people are doing and they think, I should be doing that. I should be doing that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I haven't done that yet. What do I need to do to make that happen? And so they start copying someone else, but that's that person's dream. And so instead of sitting down and mapping out what their dream is, they try and follow someone else's dream. And so for me, don't compare yourself to other people. This is your journey. What do you want out of this? And now you can start and build the plan that would work for you. I see a lot of plans fail, a lot of plans fail. And I think I've come to realize they fail because they weren't your plan. They weren't
Yes.
your dream. They weren't what you wanted. So you were chasing what someone else wanted, and you're not going to get there because you don't have the passion for it. So when you are able to sit down and say, this is my passion, this is what I want. Now the magic happens because you can build something around that. I don't care what it is. If you love the lone part of this and you want to stay back and be out of the spotlight, and all you want to do is talk with the clients and be the inside, brains behind everything, do that. If you don't want anything to do with that and you want to be out and getting the business in the door, do that. If you want to be the high-level person who doesn't do either of those, you just direct traffic, do that too. So again, it goes back to it may not happen tomorrow, but getting crystal clear on what your dream is and what your vision is will help you map out what that looks like in the long run. There's a couple great books that I would recommend for your readership. One would be, believe it or not, Gary Keller's The One Thing.
Great book.
I loved that because he recognized, he sat down and said, this, I want to build an empire. He knew that as a single real estate agent, I want to build an empire. So he sat down and he mapped out what that would look like. What would I need? If I wanted to have this mega, 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 mega company, what would I need? So he sat down and he planned it all out. He wrote out, I would need. And I think the number, it's been a while since I read the book, but I think it was he was going to need 14 people to surround him, all doing different things. So he's like, well, I don't have the money to hire all 14 right now. So he just hired one at a time. Let me get this piece off my plate. Let me get this piece off my plate. So that would be one book that I would really highly recommend on the process of how to do this. And then the other one, I love Michael Gerber and his book called The Remyth, The E-Myth Revisited.
I love
So
that
I
book.
would, yes. So I would recommend both of those books to someone who really wants to find out their starting point, because I don't think you can, I can show you how to read a DISC profile. I can show you what kind of personality you're looking for different positions. But until you know what the final picture for you looks like, I think you'll struggle
Yes.
because you're trying to hire somebody for what you think somebody else would tell you be doing, and you're not hiring for what's best for me, what's best for my family, what's best for the plan that I want to have going forward. So I think those are some very, very, very first starting places first is to do that. So one of the things I always have my clients do is to sit down and make out a couple different lists. So one of them would be, what are you really good at? Holy cow, you shine in your business doing this. Here's a thing that I always tell people. Write down what you're good at, whether it has to do with the loan business or not. What are you good at? So, I was talking with somebody a couple of years ago, and she was getting out of the loan business. I just can't do it anymore. I hate it. I'm like, well, before you do that, let's do this exercise. So we went through this. I'm like, I don't care if it's part of the loan business or not. Tell me what you love. What do you love to do? I love teaching. I love talking to people. I love, and she had this big list. I'm like, well, what are you really good at? And connecting with people. I mean, she went through things and then like, all right, so now what are some things that you know of using those two things that would make and bring in money? And she got this big smile and she's like, well, the business I'm in right now. I'm like, exactly. So part of it is changing your thinking to, I'm really good at teaching. All right, so how do I put what I'm good at into what I'm looking to accomplish? And so sitting down and being able to do those exercises, here's what I really shine at. Here's what I love, love, love doing. And then this is going to make me some money now. That's where things really start happening, because now you can say, wow, eventually, not tomorrow. And I think that's another thing that trips people up, Irene, is they want it now. We're an instant gratification with, you know, all of these things that we've got with Facebook and Instacart and deliveries and this and that. We can have things in an hour. We can have things in 30 seconds with the internet. We have it at our fingertips and we can get answers in 15 seconds or less. This takes time. You're building an empire. You're building a legacy. You're building something bigger than you. You're not going to do that in a day. So having a timeline maybe that you build out and you say, this is what I want to eventually look like. What's the timeline? I'm going to do this in this quarter. I'll do this in the next quarter. I'm going to do this in this quarter in the next quarter. And so I think being able to sit down and have this plan and then mapping it out and then saying, here's what I'm going to do. Eventually, this will be my only job in this company. And this is where Michael Gerber comes in with the E-myth. You know, eventually, this will be what I do. But to get there, I'm going to have to do these other things. So what do I need to take off my plate immediately? So that when I take that off, now I can devote even more time to doing this other thing that would bring in the money. So I think that's where I would start first, is with a little homework for yourself on what do I want? Not what does the world want? What do I want? I can't do it alone. So what do I want to be doing in this business venture eventually? Okay, now I've got that in place. Now I can start planning on, okay, now what do I need to take off my plate? There are some people, like I said earlier, who want to do the loan part of it. So if you really love that, I love solving, I hear this a lot. Man, there ain't nobody who can solve problems better than me. There ain't nobody who can put out a fire better than me. If that's what you love, there's nothing wrong with that, but you're going to need a salesperson.
That's right.
Go out and get business in the door. So it's not like you have to do something you hate doing. It's realizing that whatever you choose, it doesn't matter what you choose. There's someone who can come alongside you and do the pieces that you don't want to do. You're the visionary. You're the idea person. You're the one who puts it in place. It's not a word, but I call it that. Everything is hire outable. Everything.
Everything.
Everything is hire outable. So it's just deciding for you, what do you want, so that we now know who to hire out. I've helped so many people who follow a cookie cutter stampy thing. It's like, oh, I have to do that. I have to go out and get the business in the door. And they suck at it.
And they hate it.
They hate it, but they're seeing what other people are doing. And so that's what they're doing. No, do what you love to do. Be the visionary. Cast the vision and surround yourself with the people who will do what you need them to do with good contracts, good things like that in place, so that they don't take off with your business. But I think there's a way to do what, no matter what you want to do in this business, there's a way to do it as long as you're remaining true to yourself, I think.
Yes.
So I like that.
Yeah, I do too. Those are some great points. Overwhelm comes to people when they are not clear about what they want to do, when they want things to happen immediately, which is all of us, right? We all want things to happen immediately. And it's easy to get overwhelmed. But I learned a long time ago that if I could get two or three things done in a day, even though I have a long list of things to do, if I can pick one or two or three, yesterday it was a perfect example. I felt so good. I worked a half a day because I spent the rest of the day with my 12-year-old granddaughter, and I got the three things, the three most important things done. And so what if I had a list of a bunch of stuff? Work is never finished, right? You always have things you're working on, but you can get so overwhelmed if you try to have everything today. And I've been guilty of that myself, is I get overwhelmed because I want everything today. I want to make
Yes.
sure I finish everything today. And it never works that way. And if we can just realize that it's going to take time, and you've got to set the time aside to do the planning that you were talking about. So what tips do you have for setting that time aside? A half hour at a time, an hour?
Well, I think the best thing is so there's been a lot of studies that show that once you really get yourself into, they call it the zone, anytime you get interrupted, it takes 20 to 30 minutes to get back into it. And then you're not on that same high that you were, if you want to call it that. I recommend, and I have a couple of my clients who have done this in the past, is this is important. This is important. This has the potential for helping you set up your future.
Yes.
This is what's going to help you, no matter how big you want this legacy to be or how small you want this legacy to be. This is your legacy. Think of it in those terms. I'm building a legacy. So if I came to you and said, when we finish together, you will have built a long-lasting legacy. And it will carry you forward and carry into the future as well and take care of your family for a long time. If we could accomplish that in one weekend, would you give me that one weekend so that you could get it done? So that's what I would recommend is think of it in those terms. This is a legacy I'm building.
Yes.
I can't do it in a half hour here and a half hour there. And a half hour here. I need time to sit down. So I would go away. I have a one of my clients who goes away every single December. The first week he goes away, a weekend, maybe one or two guys go together and they all plan together. What do I want to accomplish next year? What's my next hire going to look like? What systems or processes do I need to put in place? What do I want my role? What am I going to be taking off my plate next year that's on my plate this year that's not serving me? And so I think being able to do it in a weekend would really, really, really help instead of just a half hour here, a half hour there. If you can't get away, maybe you've got a family and you're like, it's not fair for my wife to or my husband to have to, take care of the kids and stuff for a long weekend. If you can't do that, maybe you take them with you and you just say, hey, I need 2 or 3 hours a day out of our vacation where I go off on my own, and then the rest of the time is ours. So I think there's a couple ways that you could work around that. I think having larger chunks of time where you can really sit down and say, okay, let me build it out. And that's what you, to me, I can't reiterate that enough. You have to build it. I remember that movie, Field of Dreams. If you
Yes.
build it, they will come.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing. You're building it. Dream it up in your mind. What it dream big too. But it's your dream, not somebody else's dream.
Yes.
What do you want to do? And everybody's different, and there's no wrong way to do it. And you're not going to be a disappointment to anybody. You're not good enough or bad enough. You're not anything if you choose a path that's different than someone else's. You need to be true to what you want and what you want to accomplish. Once you've got that firmly in your mind, now you can really start planning what will work for you inside of what you want. Because someone else's plan with someone else's employees, even their definitions of, hey, what's my job descriptions for a processor versus what my de descriptions? My goodness, I have come across so many definitions. I've got some people who, my processor only takes it after disclosures are done and all the stuff is gathered. They take it and they finish up.
Yes.
Other people are like, no, I want them as soon as the contract's done, then they take it through. So, I mean, there's all different ways to do this. It's what works for you. What works
Exactly.
for you, not other people.
Do you have a loan partner who does the loan consultations, structures the loan, and converts the buyer to work with you? Or maybe you have a loan partner or a team member that you would like to move into that position so that you can be freed up to go get even more loans. How about a newer loan officer who could benefit from some training in how to convert buyers to work with them? Our client conversion training is very specific to this role. It will help them convert even more clients to work with you and your team. We help you to be seen as a trusted advisor. We cover every aspect of converting clients to work with you. They're going to learn emotional intelligence, what it is, and how to utilize it. They'll discover the key to a success mindset. Yep, we go deep on this one. How to build rapport right from the first conversation. How to ask the right questions, how to answer objections, specific dialogues and strategies to overcome rate shoppers. They're going to practice live with other class members, and they're going to also learn how to ask for and receive referrals. How to master the loan consultation with loan strategies that help the buyer make great decisions for their future. Client conversion training will set your team apart when they implement the training that they're going to receive in our class. It's a virtual interactive class on Zoom with live trainers, and your team members can attend from wherever they are as long as they have audio and video. Everyone participates. It's a 10-hour live class divided into 2.5-hour sessions from 9 to 11:30 on Thursday and Friday for 2 weeks in a row. Sign up your loan partner today at loanteamtraining.com. You'll find the class on the client conversion training tab.
So once you've really got in your mind, okay, this is the direction I want to go in, see if there's anyone out there already accomplishing what you want to accomplish the way you want to do it.
Yes.
So, I've got a couple clients who are mega branch managers with 45, 50 loan officers underneath them. And so I always tell them, chat with each other. Maybe your business isn't exactly the same, but you can at least learn from each other that way. So find other people who are doing it how you want it done, and then interview them, talk with them. How did you do that? What's your next step? Find someone who's a little further down the river on their journey than you are. And
Yes.
so copy them. But I think that's the biggest thing is once you know what you want, now we sit down and we list out what. Who are the players I'm going to need to accomplish this? Some people are going to need a team of 20 or 30 players to make this happen. Other people need a team of two or three. And again, there's no wrong way to do it. It's what serves you for what you want. So once you know, okay, it'll take me 3 to 5 people to accomplish what I want. What positions will they have? What will they do? So it goes back to, hey, what do I want to do? Here's my list over here. Now, here's all the stuff left over that I don't want to do. Where do those positions fall? Here's what a processor would look like. Here's what an ops manager might look like. Here's what, if I don't want to go out and do the selling, here's what a salesman would look like, a business development rep or something like that. Here's what that would look like. Here's what just a good old-fashioned assistant would look like. I know that you do a lot of training for the loan industry, for loan partners. So what would that position look like? What would
Yes.
that look like? And name them all out. And now we zip back to Gary Keller's thing. So he had 14 positions. He had all the positions named out and what their responsibilities would be. But now there's only two of them. So he's like, hey, I'll take these 8 of them. I'll take these 9. You take these 5.
Yes.
Once we get that going and we build our volume up a little bit, now we'll take a few off of me, a few off of you. They go to the next person. So it's just being able to have these crystal clear visions of what people will do. And then, hey, there's only two of us to do 5 people's jobs right now. So I'll take these 3 positions and think of it like that. I'm going to take these positions. You'll take these positions.
Yes.
So maybe your processor would be a front-end loan partner and the back-end loan partner and the processor all in once, knowing that, hey, at some point, the front end loan officer stuff comes off my plate at some point. And it's a whole standalone job that this new person would come in and do. Mm-hmm. And then once the volume is back up again, now I take the loan officer. Hey, I'm the business development rep and the loan officer. Now when volume is there, which piece do I want to get rid of? Do I want to be the loan officer or do I want to be the business development rep?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I like that piece of where you just start peeling the onion off, but you got to know what the onion looks like first.
For sure. I have a client right now that has two rock star loan partners. Both of them are qualified to do the front end or the back end, but he has one of them on the back end, meaning once the contract comes in, he takes it over. And the front end person does all of his pre-qualifications and loan consultations and everything, and he's out getting the business. But they both know, both of the loan partners know that as the business grows, the one that's doing the back end right now is coming to the front end because that's the part he loves to do and he's great at it. And they will hire someone else to do post-contract after that. So you can set it up however you want to. And eventually this person isn't even going to be out selling. As soon as he builds the business and builds it a little bit more and gets what he wants out of the, with the people that he has, he's going to end up stepping back and just being overseer of a true business owner. And the team is going to run itself. That's his long-term goal.
And I think one of the things that you said, we'll get now into what are you looking for when you do, and we'll, you know, cover a little bit of a DISC profile and things like that. Yeah. But one of the things that you just said that I love, and I try and tell people is be honest with people up front. And I love what you said. This guy knows, hey, you're temporarily going to be doing this over here, but this is where you're going to end up. I think a mistake that a lot of people do is like, come on over, I'm hiring you to do this. Oh, by the way, you're going to be doing this, 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 and this, and this, and this, and this. And the person's like, overwhelmed. So being able to say, while we grow, you're on the ground floor of an amazing business that is going to grow. And I want you to have wings to grow and to grow with the company. So, you know, I will reward those people who do the difficult things. Yes. And so at this moment, that is your primary job going to be, but I will also need someone who will do this, this, and this. And if they're like, I don't want to do that, don't hire them.
Right.
Don't hire them. We want team players. That's another great book, by the way. Pat Lencioni, it's called The Ideal Team Player. Love that book as well. So let's talk about what you're looking for when you hire somebody. So we have something that I've used for years and years and years and years. It's called the DISC profile. And it tells you with pretty good accuracy, 70, 80%, you can know how someone's going to behave. So when we're talking about the DISC profile, there's so many things out there, lots of different personality tests, but some of them tell you how you think. Some of them tell you what your core values maybe look like, what your motivators are. Some of them tell you how you behave. So it's just trying to find that. So there's no magic in one thing that you take, but kind of know these are the things that you're going to be looking for. How does someone behave? How do they think? And what motivates them? Because when you know those things, oh my gosh, what you're looking for, let's specifically talk about the DISC profile and something that I call advanced insights. And it also, that also covers your motivational drivers.
Yes.
And so talking about those two specific things, let's start at the top and kind of work our way down. For a salesperson, for someone who's going to go out and really bring in the business, the traits that I like to see are a high D, that's on the DISC part, a high D and a high I. So that means driven, dominance, decision maker is the D part, interactive, friendly, chatty is the I. So we're looking for someone who is a high D and a high I, typically, not always, they're usually, if they're an all-out salesperson, a lower S and a lower C. And then on their values piece, the motivational piece of it, they're usually going to be a very high economics person and a high political person, which is someone who likes to be in charge. It has nothing to do with politics. So those are the things, if I was going to be hiring a salesperson, if I'm, say, I'm a branch manager here, or I don't want to be doing the getting the business, I just want to write it. That's someone that I would be looking for. It's a high D, high I, high political, high economics. If I'm looking for, I want to be that person and I want to bring someone alongside me, and I'm looking for, let's say, a loan partner, I would be looking for a lower D. I don't need a dominant
driver-driven
decision maker. That's me. That's my job. So I don't need that. So I'm going to be looking for a lower D. I still want that high I, that interactive, friendly piece.
Yes.
But they're going to have a higher S as well. So that's the steadiness, the person who wants security. I call them my steady Eddies. They like doing the same thing. They like routine. They like all that stuff. And then I like a mid-ish C. That C piece is the compliance piece, the following the rules piece, the regulations piece. On the driver side of things, I usually don't like them to have, when we talked about the salesperson, that political and economics, I call those competition drivers.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want this person to have two competition drivers. I'm okay if they have one, but I don't want them to have two, because now they're looking for ways to have
take
a
over,
business.
Be the boss.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So one competition driver is good. I'm usually looking for someone who might be, it depends on the position I'm looking for. If I'm looking for a processor, I want someone with a super high regulatory. If I'm looking for like a loan partner or something like that, I'm usually looking for one of those two competition drivers, but I'm looking for somebody who has some altruism in them, someone
yes.
who likes helping people. I'm looking for someone who has, well, I can explain what each of them are, but that's what I'm looking for, is that the, depending on the piece of it, the altruism or the regulatory piece or something along those lines. If I'm looking for a processor, I don't want them to have hardly any D at all. And they don't even have to have that much I, because they're going to be doing paperwork.
Yes.
So for them, I'm looking for as high S and a high C as I can get. And then what wakes them up in the morning, I want aesthetics, harmony, peace, love, joy. That's one thing. I'm also looking for that high regulatory piece in there. They don't need to have a competition driver in them whatsoever. So they don't need that. Maybe they got a little altruism. I just want them to do their job and to do it well.
And follow the rules. That's what the regulatory
exactly.
is. Yep.
Exactly. And so I think being able to recognize, okay, this is what I need, this is what I want to do. It's mapping out that plan that we talked about. This is what I want my business to ultimately look like.
Mm-hmm.
These are the players I'm going to need. This is what I'm willing to do inside that. This is how many other people I'm going to need. And my first hire amongst those is going to be someone else who understands, hey, we've got five roles right this moment. Two of us are going to cover five roles.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as the business is there, we'll bring someone in to take a role off of you, partner, and keep going that way. And so that we finally get our well-rounded team, everyone living in their highest and best, doing what they love doing. And that's where the magic is.
Yes.
You have an amazing company when people love what they do. You're honest and open with them about what you want. And you pull your weight because you love doing what you do. I think a lot of people get disappointed because they're like, they hear someone say, come over, I'm going to grow this company. But in their head and in their heart, they're like, I'm afraid. I don't really want a company that big. I just saw that they have a big company over there and that's what I'm supposed to do. So I'm going to do that. And so they're living someone else's dream, and people sense that. They're like, this ain't your dream and you ain't doing what it needs to be done to get to your dream. So dream big, guys, but make it your dream, not somebody else's.
Yes. One of the things that I get asked a lot by loan officers is, how can I afford to bring that first person on when I'm not even really making the money that I need to be making? How can I afford it? And my answer always is, how can you afford not to? But here's a tip. This is the tip that I always give people. When you're, and I learned this a long time ago from a mentor of mine many years ago, he said, when you're cutting expenses, Cut your personal expenses first. Keep pouring into your business. And that's part of having a salary for the person that you're bringing on, or commission, or whatever you're paying them. But cut back on your personal expenses first. We can afford not to have Starbucks in the morning. You can afford to not go to the, you know, go out to dinner as often, or to go to lunch every day, or buy your lunch every day. All of that stuff adds up. And if you say, I can't afford a person, what is it that you're spending your money on personally that you could cut back on without, you know, causing too much trouble at home? But cut back on that, and then you can bring that person on. What do you think of that, Tammy? What's your advice?
I love that. Well, for me, anytime that we've got people at home, it's got to be a family decision that we make. So I would sit down and just have an honest conversation. This is what I would like to do in my business. This is what I've mapped out being able to show. I have a plan. It's not just a pipe dream that I'm like, I really want to do this. How many times has your spouse heard, I would really love to be whatever? With a plan, it's no longer a dream. It's a plan.
Yes.
This is what I want to do, and this is how I want to do it. I've seen people hire part-time. I've seen people share somebody mm-hmm. to get started. I love that. Where do I cut expenses mm-hmm. to help me? And then what am I willing to do?
Exactly.
What do I need to do? Am I willing to work a few extra hours? One of my clients during a refi boom, he's like, I sat my wife down and said, I can be home, or we can earn extra money to put aside for the kids' college and this and that. It's not forever. Here's the time frame I have. I want to do this for 6 months. Are you okay with that? And because they had an honest conversation, and he didn't start not showing up at home.
Right.
She knew where he was. She knew what he was doing, and she knew it was for her family. And yeah. So she's like, as long as it's not longer than that 6 months, absolutely, let's do it. So it was more of a partnership decision. And so I would say, we sit down with our spouses and say, this is my vision. This is my plan. This is the people that I'm going to need to do to map that out. And this is the first person I'm going to need to make that happen. In order for that to happen right this moment in time, would it be okay with you if we cut out this expense, and this expense, so that I can bring them on? So now it's a family decision instead of a dictatorship with somebody. And so I think that honest, open communication is the place to start with that.
Always, always the best.
Yes.
Well, we've had some great tips today. We have so much more to share with this audience, for sure. And so I'll have you on again, and we can talk about details about hiring and, you know, all kinds of things, not just hiring, but other things. You have so much wisdom, Tammy, and we go back so far back, and it's just been a pleasure to have you on today. I'm grateful that you took time. I'm grateful that we have such a history together, that we know each other so well. And I know all of the things that you're so good at, and I want you to share with the people that listen to this podcast. So I am so thankful for what you've shared today. I think people will have great takeaways today. So anybody who has listened to this today, I would really appreciate it if you would share it with other loan officers that you know and other people that you know. And also, reach out to us. Reach out to us if you have any questions. If you need anything at all, you can reach me at irene@loanteamtraining.com. We have training courses that help with your loan officers as well. And Tammy is willing to answer any questions that we have. And is there a certain
way? Shoot them over to me.
Yeah.
Just shoot them over to you, and you can get them over to me, and maybe we'll make a little list of everything, and we can answer those on a future podcast.
I love that. I love that. We'll do a Q&A on a future podcast. So thanks again, Tammy, for being here. And for those of you that have listened, I know you got valuable information. And so we will have her on again. All righty. Thank you so much for being here today. And if you got value from this, I would really appreciate you sharing it. I would consider that a personal favor, that you would share this with other loan officers and other branch managers and company owners that you know. It would mean a lot to me. So enjoy the rest of your week.